This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Welcome to the Heal Podcast. I'm Kelly Noonan Gorris, and every week I speak to the leading doctors, healers, spiritual teachers, and scientists to find out what is truly possible when it comes to healing. I also interview real people with extraordinary healing stories. My philosophy is, what's possible for one is possible for all. And I've discovered on my journey that so much more is possible than we can begin to imagine. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Heal Podcast. Today, I am so excited to talk to Emma Dunwoody. Emma is a human design expert, master coach, behavioral specialist, and the host of the number one global human design podcast. She wakes people up to the power within them using her unique method of transformational human design, a system of self-knowledge and guidance unlike anything else that exists. Her vision is to take human design mainstream so it becomes more widely accepted than any other global profiling, behavioral, or healing system. She believes it will transform personal development, education, and business forever. Emma wants to inspire everyone to unlock their inner wisdom, take their power back, and feel deeply confident in the decisions they make. This will create a population that values themselves and courageously lives their truth, which will deliver us to a new paradigm of peace, joy, and abundance. Well, I am all for that.
Wow, that's epic. I'm kind of like, whew, I'm a little bit like blushing over here.
Yes, but I mean, I have like... You're so passionate about your work, and I have just had a taste of human design, and it's like rocked my world with resonance of truth. And so I'm so excited to dive in and find out, you know, I guess first let's talk about what human design is, and then, you know, find out your personal story of how you came to be a human design expert.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So human design itself, I always love to introduce it sort of in parallel to the things that we're kind of really aware of in the world. And that's these personality and behavioral profiling tools. So it might be DISC profiling or Myers-Briggs or Enneagram's really big at the moment. And human design is similar to that. Now, all of these other modalities, we enter these things through our mind. What do I mean? We have to answer questions. We answer the questions of who we think we are. And our profile spits out the other end. Now, with human design, it's an energetic blueprint that is taken from a moment in time. And that moment in time is our birth, where we have these subatomic particles that move through our body that leave an imprint on us. Now, that becomes our energetic blueprint, and the mind at no point gets involved. So it's not who we think we are. It's who we're energetically mapped to be, or how we're designed to bring our essence to life. So human design is all about bringing together these four wisdoms of Western astrology, the Hindu chakra system, the Kabbalah tree of life, and the Chinese I Ching. And all four of these wisdoms are incredibly ancient and powerful on their own. However, with human design, what happens is that all four of them are mathematically mapped together. So it's like, it's just intense. There's a lot of information. It can be complicated. However, my mission is to make it simple, because ultimately what human design is in its simplest form is your most authentic permission slip to be you.
Mm, I love it. I need that permission slip. So how did you come to discover human design? What's your personal story and to know that this is your work and your life's passion?
Yeah, so I love this question, because unlike a lot of people, it wasn't love at first sight. You know, human design came to me a few times before I actually picked it up, and I put it straight back down because I was a behavioralist. I'm trained in things like NLP. The language was very, very negative. And there were kind of a lot of things I was like, oh God, I know that's true, but I don't want to hear it. So like so many people, I kept putting it down and kept putting it down. However, I got to a point in my life where I'd completely transformed my life. I'd healed my mental health. I'd moved out of the advertising industry and I'd created a very successful coaching business after training to become a master coach. We had moved from the country into moved to Sydney. Like our kids were really happy. We'd navigated a relationship challenge, all those things. And I just found myself going, shouldn't I feel better on the inside? Like this is massive, epic change in my life, but I still feel like there's this hole inside of me. So I put out to the universe, okay, universe, you need to be really obvious with me. Like you need to smack me in the face. You need to be very clear because I know I'm in the right realm. I know I've trained. I'm heading in the right path, but there's something very specific missing. Now, at that time, as I said, human design had been introduced to me, but because I was so science driven, it was like, oh, there's not enough science. There's not enough. Da, da, da. So I just disregarded it. But the truth is that there's a lot of science. There's a lot of evidentiary proof. Like at the moment, we now know that the Chinese I Ching, which is the book of changes, the 64 ways a human being can transform, we now know that this is mapped back to the human codon. So we're starting to see that science and spirituality in so many places, and I'm sure you talk about this a lot, you know, they are actually very, very entwined. So off I went to hike or walk a pilgrimage for 800 kilometers with this big like universe, you need to smack me in the face. You need to tell me exactly what it is. And I walked all this way and I let go of a lot of my old dogmas, this need for proof, for it to be in front of my face, to see things. And what happened was on this journey, I really let go of this old identity that I have to be very, very science-based. And what I did is I stepped into this beautiful evolution of I can bring science and spirituality together. When I got home, in the 48 hours of getting home, human design was everywhere in my life. Now, human design was not popular like it is now. Back then, there was like two people doing it in Australia, or at least two renowned people doing it in Australia. That was it. And as it turns out, because I'd made a commitment to the universe, if you show me what it is that you want me to do, and she showed me human design, I promised to do it. So I started my experiment. So human design is all about experiment. Like you learn the knowledge, then you have to run the experiment to see what works for you. And in the 3 days that I got back from Spain, not only had I promised the universe that I would run this experiment, I'd gone down the rabbit hole. I'd found the leading human design specialist in Australia. She lived one suburb away from me and I had coffee with her all in this really short period of time. And I was like, oh, that's what flow feels like. And from a human design perspective, that's what it looks like when I follow my strategy and authority. So I just kept running the experiment and here I am today.
Wow. And did you mention this? Were you on the road? What is that called? The El Camino?
The Camino. Yes. It's the French. I did the French way. So from the Pyrenees Mountains, up and over and along the top of Spain. So yeah, the Camino de Santiago.
Oh my gosh. I've made a pact with my friend Carmen. We lived in San Sebastian, Spain. And we were like, when we're 30, we're coming back and doing the Camino and El Camino. And we never did, but this is a sign.
Do it.
Got to do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's going to be there forever. So I've done it twice and I will absolutely do it again. It's epic.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I love when you, I love how you commanded or asked. You were so clear. You're like, I know I'm onto something, but there's something missing. So show me what that is. And then all the flow unfolded to just give you that, you know, confidence that you were on the case, on the right track.
Yeah. And I think the other piece for me is that I had to put my own ego aside. You know, when human design had come to me the first few times, that's the universe giving me the opportunity to fill the hole. But I was so attached to my identity of what that thing had to look like. By the time I'd walked the Camino, I'd learned so much about letting go, about letting the universe provide. On the Camino, there's literally a saying that says the Camino will provide. So I'd had 32 days of, you know, facing a challenge and it's serendipitously working itself out, like me not having to effort at everything. So I think that one of the really big lessons for me was, okay, you need to put your ego aside. The universe is showing you, you need to stop like batting it back over the net and actually pick it up and run with it. So, you know, do the work that she's showing you you're here to do, as opposed to, you know, making a mental decision, which is really what human design is all about. It's about shifting our decision-making from the mind and into the body.
Yes. And it's so, I mean, just the fact that it's this, I mean, I just think the language of the universe is mathematics and energy, and everything is able to, like, spirituality is able to be explained through those scientific lenses and equations. And I mean, that to me is mind blowing and also very reassuring that there's an order to all of this that is beyond our comprehension, but we get little tastes and it's pretty remarkable. So the fact that all four of those wisdom teachings overlapped into this, it's just like, and there's probably 25 more, but that's just what our level of understanding is able to compute at this time in history, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that fascinates me is, you know, some of the naysayers that come to human design, the thing that was, because it's a channeled wisdom. So like A Course in Miracles, this was information that came through an individual. And people will be like, yeah, what do you mean? He just made it up over 8 days. The thing that people have to understand that these are four ancient wisdoms. They've been around forever and they've been mathematically mapped together. Some human brain is not working that out in 8 days. Let me be very clear. So for me, that's when I started. It's really started to crack that whole, you know, it's the old conditioned paradigm that if we can't see it, it's not real. And that is absolutely not true. And so a lot of the ways that human design has really demonstrated to me is, you know, that Wayne Dyer quote, you know, it's not, I'll believe it when I see it. It's I'll see it when I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So for people that don't know kind of how human design looks or how it can kind of help you come to know thyself, you want to talk about the five types just to lay out the foundation, and then we'll go from there.
Sounds cool. So the thing with human design is, like any of these modalities, we've got to start somewhere. So because of its nature and it's got a lot of depth and sort of complexity to it, we start with the five types. Now, what the five types give us, I love to talk about it through this frame. It gives us this, it's almost like the container of our purpose, this idea of how our energy works and what we're on the planet to do, what we're in this lifetime to do, but in a very, you know, very broad sense, because the deeper we go into our chart, the more specific we get. So a large part of our experimentation is going deeper and deeper and deeper till we get to a place, like for me, for example, I'm a 3-5 emotional manifesting generator. Manifesting generators are on the planet to demonstrate human potential. But the deeper I go, like my real core talent is the talent of insight, of breakthrough. So this piece that's so detailed, there's all these other layers that complement that, but we can go super, super deep as well. So we want to start so we don't overwhelm the brain, because the brain, you know, whenever you feel or hear the word overwhelm, the code for that, like the thinking code for that, all that means is that we lack clarity. So we want to take one step at a time. We want to build clarity along the way. So we always start with type. So the five types, we've got the manifestor, the generator, the hybrid, which is the manifesting generator. Then we've got the projector. And then we have the reflector. So you're a projector. And the five types give us how our energy kind of works. So, and I just want to say that just because only one of them is called a manifestor, well, two of them, manifesting generator, doesn't mean that they're the only ones that can manifest. We all manifest. We all have the power to do it. But what human design teaches us is what our energetic blueprint tells us the best way to do that is. So as a manifestor, these people are here to be the trailblazers. These are the people that are going to shake things up, find new ways, be the trendsetters, all of these sort of things. So these people, they have to be very careful, because as a kid, they would have been very independent. They knew what they wanted. And that in many Western cultures, that's not okay. So it's a lot of the time that's been shut down in the manifestor. So you very much need to be the person that, you know, that is very uniquely you. You need to be unapologetically you and understand that you have very specific people in your lifetime that you are here to inspire into action. And then once they're inspired, they can start to really build on the thing that you've started. Then we have the generators. So the generators make up with the generators and the manifesting generators, that's 70% of the global population. And this type is really all about creating the life force energy for planet Earth. These are the people that are going to be, once they're inspired, they're going to build, they're going to create something. They're going to be lit up and excited by the work that they do. These are people that, you know, often in my experience, I mean, I'm a mother of two, and through coaching, so many people over the years, I think one of the challenges the generators have as mothers is that they feel this guilt because they really want to work and they really want to be a mother. But there's this part of them it's important that they do the work that they're here to do. Now, the important thing for generators is you have to do work that lights you up, not the work that you're conditioned to do, because then this life force energy that you're actually setting for the entire planet isn't really at its, you know, its potential. It's not at its greatest influence, if you like. Then we have the manifesting generator, which is the hybrid between the two, the manifestor and the generator. And as I said, they're here to demonstrate human potential. These people are non-linear beings. Now, this completely blew my mind because it changed my life in one sentence, being an MG myself. You know, like when I was at school, being told that I had to pick one thing to do for the rest of my life, I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. You know, I'd rather poke myself in the eye than do that. And these are the people that are going to be multi-passionate. They won't be able to decide between one business or the other. They'll do both. And that's perfectly okay. These people are really about going through life and almost like, I love to say, like making a mess. They break things. They're like, there's a better way of doing it. Oh, I don't like that. So they will tend to be people who take quantum leaps, but sometimes they're just in the mess because they're kind of breaking things to work out what a better way of doing things is. So the manifesting generator, these the people that you know they when they walk in the room, they have this very big energy. I'm a very passionate, big, enthusiastic energy. Even though I'm very introverted and actually quite a little human myself, my energy is very big. Then we have the projectors. So projectors are, you know, one of the types that they're actually on the planet to guide us. They have this innate wisdom to see the way we are using our energy. Are we using it efficiently? Are we using it in alignment to our authenticity? Or are we using it from a conditioned perspective? These are the people that they can actually see into things so much better than many other people. The challenge for the projector, they're here to be wise. They're here to be seen. They're here to be recognized. However, they need to be invited in. So what happens is we have these really wise souls that are trying so hard to be seen and recognized. Because they're trying so hard to be seen and recognized for their wisdom, people don't want to see them. They don't want to invite them in. So I encourage all of you, if you're into human design, if you've got projectors in your life, then you want to invite them in. Because the thing is that projectors have their very specific people. And if you are, you know, the projectors in my life, if they tell me something, I will literally take a moment, sit down, listen to them, put all my attention on them, because they're going to see something that I can't see. And as a manifesting generator, I love to run around. I often say, like, I'm just going to run around and bang into walls for a while. And then I get to a point where I'm like, right, what do you see? What am I not seeing? So our projectors really need to be invited in, because they also are not designed to work this 9-to-5. They're not designed to work the hours that a generator or a manifesting generator are designed to work. So less is more for the projector. And then we have the reflector. Now, reflectors are only 1% of the global population. These people are hugely powerful. And in the human design world, I have kind of this mission to really serve the reflectors. Even though these guys are only 1%, the thing that I want them to understand is they're hugely powerful. Nobody dances with energy the way reflectors do. It's like they are plugged into everybody's energy, everything's energy, the energy of spaces, environments, everything. They can see and feel the future like no person's business. It's incredible. However, they are constantly taking in, amplifying, and reflecting back everybody else's energy, which means that if you're a reflector and you live in a world that says, What's your why? What's your purpose? Know who you are. That's going to feel really uncomfortable because you're going to be this chameleon that changes and evolves depending on what environment you're in or what people you're with. So a large part of the role of the reflector is to show us the truth. The truth, they reflect back the truth of people, places, and environments. And if you're a reflector and if you're in one of these, you know, in the environment or with these people and they make you feel not great, then it's time for you to move on because you want to be amplifying the energy that we want the planet to move toward, not the energy that we're letting go of.
Mm. And so do you, where can people, I know everybody's like, oh, I want to find out what I am. What human design tests do you recommend? Do you offer one?
So, well, yes, there's one on my website. You can just go to emmadunwoody.com and we've actually set it up in a way that you can go there, get your free chart, and then we're going to send you an email and we're going to drip feed you because we don't want to overwhelm you. And we'll send you off to the correct podcast for your type and the correct podcast for your authority. Like we actually send you to the right places so that you can start running your experiments straight away.
Support for today's episode comes from one of my favorite brands of all time, Jenni Kayne. I literally smile and relax just thinking about their chic, minimalist, cozy vibe. If you know me, you know I live in white and cream sweaters, and Jenni Kayne sweaters are the best. My obsession right now is the cropped cocoon cardigan. It's so effortless and chic and feels like a spring hug. And I live in the Marina sweatsuit. I can be comfortable all day if I'm working from home and yet be chic enough to pop out for an afternoon matcha or pick up my daughter from school. Jenni Kayne is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined, from luxurious cashmere sweaters to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too. Jenni Kayne is one of those stores I walk into and never want to leave. I just want to hang out in a new sweater and slippers and sit on their incredible couches. I'm not joking. It's literally hard to leave. Jenni Kayne believes in the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style. And as a true California girl who lives in white t-shirts, jeans, cozy sweaters, and a ponytail, Jenni Kayne is my forever go-to. Find your new uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code HEAL15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at JenniKayne.com, promo code HEAL15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. This episode is also brought to you by Bite. Guys, I've said this before and I will say it again. I am obsessed with brushing my teeth. And now I've found my dream partner in a bright white smile, clean mouth, fresh breath, and stellar dental hygiene. Bite. What makes Bite different, you ask? Well, first of all, they came up with the idea of Bite toothpaste bits, which are an interesting concept upon discovery, but straight up genius when you really think about it. Plastic toothpaste tubes are piling up in landfills and ending up in our beloved oceans. We have to innovate and evolve if we want our beautiful planet to thrive again, and Bite is leading the charge in the toothpaste space. Bite toothpaste bits come in these chic, reusable glass jars and are super easy to use. You just pop one in your mouth, start chewing, it foams up just like regular toothpaste, and you start brushing with a wet toothbrush. Yeah, it takes a little getting used to, but when I realized just how fresh and clean my mouth feels after brushing, never went back. Didn't even look twice. Oh, and I'm also obsessed with the whitening gel. Like the bits, the gel is made with clean ingredients and is even more effective than the chemically laden stuff. Bite is offering our listeners 20% off your first order. Go to trybite.com/heal or use code HEAL at checkout to claim this deal. That's trybite.com/heal. What's like an example? I guess we can just start to go now that we've got like the broader sense and we can go deeper into like authority and strategy and stuff. But before I do that, I just, you know, again, it's like, what do you say to someone who's like, I for sure would have thought that I'm a projector when I'm a generator or a manifesting generator? Cause I've thought for sure my husband was a manifesting generator cause he's just like this endless energizer bunny and he's a manifester. And, you know, I was just taking things literally. We don't know his birth time, but we ran a bunch over the window that we thought it was, and he was a projector as well. So
yeah,
what do you say to people that are like, I don't know, it doesn't really resonate? I mean, obviously going deeper probably does, but.
So this is such a great question. And so the example with your husband, what I think is really, what would be fascinating is how your charts come together, because how our charts, we call them a connection chart. So how our charts come together is a really big, influence. So together, you two might actually have the energy of a manifesting generator. You know, like you might actually give each other the energy that you guys need. Like two of my favorite humans, who also happen to be my personal trainers, run this incredible business. Like they are some of the best personal trainers you're ever going to come across in your entire life. And one of them's a mental projector and one of them's a self-directed projector. What that means is they have very little definition. So when we talk about their singular definition, you're like, how do these girls have the energy that they have? Like, it doesn't make sense. However, when you put the two of them together, they're a fully defined manifesting generator that with everything defined, meaning that all centers are defined, all motors are going, everything's happening.
Wow.
So together they are these powerhouse. It's just when they're apart, when they're out of aura, or when they're not in anyone else's aura, they're not amplifying anyone else's energy or each other's energy, meaning that they don't have that consistently. Now, that can be one thing. The other thing, and this is what I experienced, it's why I put human design down so many times in the beginning, is that often we come to human design and we'll be like, oh, well, for me, I was like, oh, I don't want to be a manifesting generator. I want to be a projector. Like, that sounds so much better. I mean, I was like, oh, I don't want to be at line three. That sounds really awful. What's this trial and error thing? Ugh. And at the same time, there was this part of me that was going, oh God, don't tell me all the bad stuff about myself. And what I actually discovered over time was, and now I've run this experiment with thousands of clients, is that whether you like it or not, I'm going to say 95% of the time, it's just an indication of exactly how and where you're resisting being you.
Mm.
You know, and for me, like, that was exactly the thing. Like, I wanted to be the one that sat on the cushion like Yoda over in the corner and just dish out wisdom. Like, oh, that sounded so much better. But the truth for me is that that's not my energy. Like, I'm charismatic, I'm impactful, I have this big energy. So I had to learn to go, all right, I have to heal everything that's stopping me from being big, from taking up space. And this mentor I talked about earlier, I remember that my first training I ever did, and I did my first certification with her, I would, every time I'd come on, I'd go, oh, I'll just be quick. And she just turned around one day and went, for goodness sake, Emma, just take up space. That's what you're here to do. So I think in many cases, when we come to human design, the resistance is actually just giving us yet another map into the areas of ourselves that we are resisting or we're afraid of showing. Like, we're just keeping that stuff in our shadow.
So true. I think learning that I was a projector, and, you know, and even just if you go like, take one of the pillars, astrology, you know, it shows that I'm meant to be a healer, but I'm not meant to be a hands-on 9-to-5 working with my hands healer. I'm meant to be a experience with my own experience and then share with the world, which I learned that after I made Heal. So it was like, okay, well, that's clearly I'm on path with that. But then as you learn human design, it gave me permission to do two things that I hadn't, because of my conditioning, allowed myself to do. And it's helping me, it's still a process, I'm not, to learn how to really, like you learned how to take up space, I'm learning how to give myself permission to rest.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I am so extroverted, but I'm equally parts introverted and need to, like, I need deep solitude because I take on so much energy and I need to let that go and decompress. And so to learn about yourself in this way, it gives yourself permission, you know, it cuts through all the societal pressures and conditioning and that you've grown up with and these ideas about how you should be in the world, and really gives you permission to, like, oh, if I want to reach my potential and be most efficient, I better pay attention to these qualities that I'm ignoring and stuffing down. And that's why I'm burnt out all the time or whatever.
Yeah. And the thing that I love is, like, the question I have for you is, did you already innately know that? Did you already innately know within you that you potentially needed more rest than others, yet you were just ignoring it?
Yes. I just love alone time, and I was confused myself because I like love to be the center of attention and then also like love to be alone and love to nap and love to just read a book and not be productive. But I just have this overachieving productivity thing that if, you know, there's only so much time and I can only accomplish so much and I will only be fully loved and worth it, and enough until I get here. You know what I mean? So I didn't have time to rest, or I didn't think that was productive. Now I understand that rest is sometimes and often the most productive thing I can do.
Exactly. And so much for you is like rest is the gaps, you know, it's the gaps that the Buddhists talk about. It's the gaps that we search for in our meditation. You know, for projectors, what are you here to be? Wise. So you need lots of gaps, because gaps are where the wisdom gets in. Gaps are where source comes in. And the thing I love about human design is that it also answers those questions like you just said, am I extroverted? Am I introverted? And we can look at your design and go, well, you're a 1-3. So both, you know, like the one is someone who's going to be more internally reflective. They're going to be someone who goes internal. They're super sensitive. They see all the details that are going on out there, but they'll also be the ones that tend to keep to themselves. They want to go internal. Yet the line 3 is more about out there being the entertainer. It's about pleasure, adventure, challenge. So you have both, you know, you have both of these things. And that productivity piece, well, that's got so much to do with the fact that you've got a defined root center. And in many, you know, many people who are into human design, they hear like projectors have no energy at all. They have none. And they just have to be like really... And I call BS on that. You know, that's not true. So many projectors I know have a lot of energy. And in your case, you do have a lot of very powerful, productive energy because you've got a defined root center. So what that means is that you have this consistent energy to get stuff done, to move life forward. However, you also have to balance it because you've got a lot of undefined centers. You're a projector. So that means because you spend so much of your life taking in other people's energy, you need the equal amount, if not more, time to cleanse that energy, to let it go. And as a projector, you need time to be obsessing over whatever it is that you love. I mean, the whole Heal movie documentary, that's a projector. Like, I have to get to the bottom of this. I have to understand it, you know? So it's this balance. And when we talk about the work with projectors, it's almost... we always have to put like, imagine the old school 9-to-5 sitting in an office. You've got about 3 hours of that kind of work, 3 hours of book work or admin. That's about all you've got to be really healthy and well in a day. But the rest of the day, like you could spend 10 hours going down the rabbit hole on, you know, mystical something or other, and you will feel really energized. But there you are in your aura doing the thing that you love. And that's giving you energy, not depleting your energy.
Totally. And this is why I love, I mean, I love human design because it's so specific and it really, you know, we put ourselves into boxes and, you know, should ourselves all day long. And like, just here's another example where human design and understanding my human design gave me like liberated me from a self-judgment that I've had my whole life. So I've been a crammer and I study, but I have this like kind of photographic memory, but it's not for very long. It's like I can look at a page, remember where the word and remember where the sentence is, and it can reproduce it for a test. So I've been a great test taker my whole life. I've gotten straight A's, went to Berkeley, maybe got one B my first 2 years at Berkeley. And it's because I could cram the night before. I could spend 3 hours, that 3 hour work window that you said, you know, from 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. And then I'd get up, take the test, get the A, and not retain a darn thing. But I beat my, or finish a project that I had a month to do, and I do it in the final 3 days leading up to the thing. I beat myself up for years because as a procrastinator, I was like such a negative thing. And when I looked at, when I was first at human design, I learned, and you could tell me the exact specifics of it, but it's something about like, I make decisions with my intuition. And so that clicked in me. Oh, I set myself up in pressure situations so that I was forced to use my intuition that I didn't trust. I was like, oh, I only have 3 hours, or I only have 3 days to do 6 weeks of work. I'm in a heat, I'm in a fire, and I'm just gonna have to use my intuition. And I was like, oh, so it's like, it's just a reframe of how you operate, and then gives you permission not to beat yourself up. It's like, oh, now I understand. That's just the way I'm designed. And maybe exactly. I could do healthier habits around that, but, or I could just not have the negative story, you know, and just let myself be me.
I love this so much because, you know, my own personal experience, but also all these people I've worked with, one of the most common things I see is that people are beating themselves up for their superpowers. So one of your superpowers is to cram, yet we are conditioned to think it's a bad thing. How specifically is it bad for you? The results is telling us that you did something, you took an action and you got good marks, you got what you wanted that was resourceful, that actually served you. How is that wrong? And I think that that's one of the things with human design is that we all of a sudden we reframe everything. We understand that, hang on, that is actually your superpower. And I want to bring some behavioral science into this as well. It's that the human brain works best under pressure. Most people will leave anything and everything to the last minute when it comes to studying, in fact, any deadlines, because that's the way the brain works the best. Our brain works the best under pressure. It's just that we've been conditioned at school that we have to do it in this certain way. And again, I call BS on it. We all have our own unique way. I mean, human design is called the science of differentiation. So it's all about understanding our unique differences and how our differences work. And I love that you've also made that awareness that it puts you into this place where it's almost like the mind, the conditioned mind went, well, I give up. I told you how you should do it. So in that same moment, the intuition goes, yeah, well, actually I'm the one that's meant to be making decisions. You know, you're a splenic projector. That means that you make decisions on your intuition spontaneously in the moment from knowing, you know, not the analysis paralysis, not the four columns, you know, must have, don't want, all the things. It's all about in the moment knowing. And when you make those decisions, then you get to where you want to go, or you feel more fulfilled, or you know, your results shift. And I think that that's the thing we need to be paying attention to. I mean, I don't talk about good or bad, right or wrong. I talk about resourceful or unresourceful, because at the end of the day, we have to stop assuming that the way we've been taught is correct for us, because in many cases it's not. It's just our conditioning. Mm-hmm. So what we actually need to choose to do is see everything through this frame of, is it resourceful? Is it sustainable? Is it moving me forward? Am I growing and evolving? You know, is this deepening my connection to myself, to others? Or is it unresourceful, meaning it's unsustainable? It's keeping me stuck. I'm in fear. You know, all of these things. And when you actually look at it through that frame, well, your study strategy is perfect. It's spot on because it got you where you wanted to go. It's sustainable because you're not studying for weeks and months and depleting your energy. Actually, that last, you know, ditch effort is exactly how your energy is designed. So yeah, we need to stop looking at right and wrong and actually look at the results. Is this resourceful for me or is it not resourceful for me?
Yeah. And you can see, like, I've compared and beat myself up, like I'm not as organized as so-and-so, or there's other people that like need that organization and the perfect penmanship and the right, you know, and have everything that I'm in awe of, and their life is like very orderly, but that's the way they're designed. And that's just exactly. Not the way I'm designed. And that's okay to both.
And maybe it's not. You see, maybe it's not the way it's designed because it's the way we're conditioned. You know, perfectionism is a conditioned thing. You know, one of my favorite quotes is that perfection is a serial killer because it's constantly killing our creativity. So, and we're conditioned to be perfect. So that's something we all need to throw out.
This episode is made possible by Needed. You know what else is made possible by Needed? Happy, healthy women at every age. Being pregnant for the first time is overwhelming. Being menopausal is overwhelming. Well, let's be honest. In today's world, being a human is overwhelming. Well, nutrition has the power to change physical and mental health outcomes for humans. So why are 95% of pregnant women nutritionally depleted? Most prenatal vitamins are designed around recommended daily allowances, the bare minimum amount needed to avoid a disease condition. These RDAs are based on outdated research methods, and pregnant and nursing women were intentionally excluded from much of the research that underpins these recommendations. Can you believe that?
That's why two mothers who are also trained nutritionists started Needed to create radically better nutrition for fertility, pregnancy, postpartum, and women's lifelong health in general. Their products offer the forms of nutrients your body can actually use, dosed at optimal versus bare minimum levels. And they go above and beyond with third-party tests, testing every batch to ensure the safest product. I wish I had Needed when I was pregnant with Riley, but I'm grateful I have it now so I can stay fertile and nutritionally supported as I enter my mid-40s. Needed offers premium supplements for every stage, from egg quality support for women trying to conceive, to a lactation support plan for breastfeeding moms, to stress and sleep support that supports all women, including those in perimenopause and menopause. No matter what stage in life you find yourself in, Needed has the radically better nutrition to support you. Head over to thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products. That's thisisneeded.com and use code HEAL for 20% off your first month of Needed products.
Real quickly, back to this connection, I think, chart, because I know astrology can do like a compatibility chart. I mean, if you're getting even more of the four wisdoms, like human design connection is going to be much more specific. So, and it would just give you a lot of information on how you need to be, whether, you know, on the very basic level, like love languages, but also just how, I guess you could see like levels of amplification of energy, or if, I mean, have you ever seen charts that are like, oh gosh, I don't care what strategies you have, it's not going to work?
I love this question and I get it all the time because, again, in the past, there's so many people, you know, saying like, if you're a Pisces, you're compatible with the Cancer. Like, it doesn't work that way. And as a behavioralist, I don't believe in it. And I think it's really unresourceful because it's a belief system. Because every single relationship that comes into our life is a soulmate. Because every single relationship that comes into our life is here to teach us something so that we can become an even better version of ourselves, more aligned to our soul. Whether we take those lessons, learn them and evolve or not, that's totally our choice. Now, the thing about a chart is there are parts of a connection chart. We call them electromagnetics, where, you know, I have one gate, and don't worry, people, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, that's fine. Just come along for the ride. You know, I have one gate, one energy, and then my partner might have the other gate, and these two connect in what we call a channel. That's what we feel when we feel sparks when we first meet someone, you know, like, oh, there was a lot of sparks. They're our electromagnetics joining. Now, the thing is with that is that in many cases, because these electromagnetics are actually opposites, in many cases, the things that draw us to someone are also the things that are going to drive us away from someone because they're the opposites. So what human design does when we look at our connection chart is not only can we break the golden rule, that is, treat everyone as though the way we would like to be treated. We want to break that rule and we want to start treating people as they are designed to be treated, because we see the world as we are, not as it is. So once we understand another person's human design, then we can treat them very differently. So let me give you an example. If you're a manifesting generator, someone like me, I'm a 3-5 manifesting generator. I've got a defined will center, a defined emotional solar plexus. So I've got a big energy. I'm impactful. And I just feel like everybody wants to change the world. Like, doesn't everybody want to like go out there and completely change the world? The truth is, no, they don't. So if I'm in relationship with someone, then I assume that my partner is this way. Now, what human design does is it gives me the map of this other person. It gives us all the map of the other person so we can start to understand them. So let's say I'm with a projector. Well, I know that this person needs to be seen and recognized and invited in. I need to, you know, understand that this person's energy certainly isn't the same as my energy. So all of a sudden, I'm not projecting who I am onto my partner. I'm actually seeing my partner for who they really are. Now, some of the really cool things that human design gives us, for example, in relationships, as I said earlier, I'm an emotional authority. So anyone in relationship with me is going to be in an emotional relationship. What does that mean? That means that someone in that relationship, let's say, gets triggered. The last thing I need to do is sit down and unpack that trigger right there in that moment, because is an emotional authority is all about making decisions over time. So what happens if you have an emotional connection, if you have a defined solar plexus in your relationship, you need to have the opportunity to say, okay, I see I may have hurt you, or I'm feeling hurt right now. This is really important. I want to talk about it. Can we talk about it tomorrow? Can I just let my emotional wave, you know, go work out? And like when I was younger, like this makes so much sense, because at that stage was a people pleaser. I didn't want anyone not to like me. So I was like, oh, we got to fix it right now. So I would say things and do things that just weren't true, instead of just letting the wave settle and then be able to go back and address whatever the thing is, you know, the following day. So when we look at our connection charts, then we can really start to understand our partner and our relationship. Because when we look at the two charts together, wherever we don't have definition, which is this colored in part of our chart, like a colored in chakra, this is going to be where that relationship is going to do its most evolution, its most work, probably where you'll find the most challenge, because there's nothing consistent in there. So that's going to be the part of the relationship. For example, I'm actually separated from my husband now, but our chart together was that we have an undefined G center, which is all about love. So a large part of our relationship has been about lovability. You know, like I felt like I'm not lovable. He's felt like he's not lovable. And we've gone through a lot of journeys, around that topic, if you like, and really evolved as humans and sort of come to this place where we're like, wow, I am lovable and you're lovable, but maybe we don't want to continue on this journey together. And in the way that we've even separated, it's been a very loving and supportive way, because this is the thing we've been working on for the last 25 years. So connection charts are really powerful when it comes to relationships.
And why do you think, like, so many, I'm just witnessing so many relationships like come to an end right now. I mean, what is your sense? What are you seeing in human design? What is your sense in just like, I mean, it just feels like the frequency is rising and like people's truths are kind of being forced, squeezed out by the energetic magnetic frequency. What is your sense on that?
So human design, my interpretation of human design has a partial answer for this, but intuitively, you know, that is something that I'm seeing a lot as well. And the shift is, and this is true for me in my relationship, is that we are all evolving in this place where one of us is evolving quite quickly. And then the other one is like, yeah, I want to come along, or I don't want to come along. And we get to this place where we're kind of like, well, we live in a quantum reality and I want to go there. I really want to go up there. But if we are in, you know, quantumly entangled with someone who's like, yeah, I'm good, then that becomes an issue. It's just the way it works. It's the way quantum physics and energy works. And I think what I'm seeing, and I hear this sentence a lot in the last 12 months, I've heard this a lot. I'm like, I hear women say, he's such a good man. I love him. He's so kind, you know, and this is my story almost, you know, but you know, I want so much more. And I think that there is this place, and it doesn't just have to be, you know, man, the women saying this, it's both. The divine feminine is rising in all of us. And I think we're really discovering that we can want more. We can long for more. We can choose to reach for more. And I think the challenge is that because there's nothing significantly broken, which was our, this is really representative of my marriage and it falling apart, the hardest part is because no one did anything significant to hurt the other one. There wasn't like someone did something, you know, not that I love this word, wrong. We're just in this place where it's a choice that we're making to go in a different direction. And, you know, we have kids. So that choice is, it's a really, really, it's something that we've thought about and discussed at length for a long time, because we don't want to, you know, damage, that's a terrible word, but we don't want to, you know, condition our children in any specific way. Mm-hmm. Having said that, we also want to empower our children to make the right choices for them. Now, I want to put the frame of human design over this, without overcomplicating it too much, is that we're moving into this new time, human design, we call it the new paradigm in 2027. Now we hear the age of Aquarius. We know that there's a lot of significant things happening from, you know, the Mayan calendar perspective. You know, any ancient wisdom, it talks about this time somewhere around 2026, 2027, that there's this big shift happening globally. And a lot of them talk about that we're moving into this golden age, which is why we're experiencing so much chaos right now, because the old has to fall away. Now, human design, we're moving into a time that is going to be governed by some very specific themes: abundance, intimacy, self-empowerment, and presence. Now, what I think this is all about, I think this is why we're seeing intimacy, sexuality, how we relate to the other, that we're in this time right now that it used to be the old paradigm was man and woman. Now we're in this time where it's, well, I'm human and I want to love another human. And we're in this time where that we are making sure that we use the right pronouns because we want to be able to recognize people as they are. What I believe, what I feel the new paradigm is going to be about is that all the labels are going to fall away because we're moving to this place where intimacy is going to be redefined. Intimacy isn't going to be about making babies anymore, which is really how it has been playing out for the majority of history, right? That's really procreation. That's what it's been about. And now we're seeing this evidence of like, no, it's about one soul connecting with another soul, one heart connecting with another heart. The gender piece is falling away. Less people are wanting to have children. It's not something we have to do. So as we go into the new paradigm, we're actually redefining what intimacy looks like. And I believe that that's why we're seeing this, you know, everything when it comes to intimacy is changing and giving ourselves permission to fully be on that journey and not know the answer and, you know, run the experiment, I think is a really important place to be at this time in the planet.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I see this like kind of, for lack of a better metaphor, it's like the pimple is popping of all the disconnection and the disallowance of people's humanity. And yeah. So like, you know, the othering and the cancel culture and this disconnection and this isolation is going to the equal and opposite reaction of true human connection and acceptance and less judgment, labels, everything like you said. And you know, for me, it's like really reconnecting to myself. And, you know, human design is like such a beautiful tool to be able to do that. And then once you reconnect with yourself and understand yourself in that way, you can go, oh, and that person is just designed differently. And you have so much more compassion for
exactly
all humans, you know?
I think that like I, and again, it's one of the Siddhic states through the form of this. So again, I don't want to overcomplicate, but there's this other beautiful modality, the Gene Keys. If you haven't heard of it, look it up. Richard Rudd, amazing, which works with human design. And, you know, one of the things that is in my chart is this Siddhic state, so the enlightened state. So, you know, I'm not there all the time. I get little flashes of it, of compassion, of really understanding the other, you know. And what I believe is human design has this great gift of teaching us how to be truly compassionate. It gives us the opportunity to really see how beautiful the differences in others are and how, you know, for so long, we haven't really been seeing each other. We've been seeing each other through the way our brain works and we see the world as we are, not as it is. That's just the way we've been designed to keep us safe. But now we're moving into this time where we're actually getting to know ourselves better than we've ever known ourselves before. We're actually understanding that we are the biggest priority in our life, and that's not selfish. And when we focus in on ourselves and healing ourselves and getting onto our path, like I work a lot with purpose, really understanding our purpose and being our purpose in the world, then all we want to do is give it. All we want to do is be compassionate. All these higher, you know, expressions of ourselves, they will inevitably evolve, but first we have to love, trust, and accept ourselves, because the reality, and I do use that, I call these inverted commas, I can't remember what you guys call them, but quotations, air quotes, you know, reality isn't real. our reality is just how we, it's our internal world being expressed through our senses externally, through our projection of our mind externally. And I think that we are starting to see that how this whole spiritual idea of oneness, like for me, I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like I'm starting to understand, like we really are all connected. But the paradox is it's in our identifying ourselves individually, like who we really are is the window into understanding how, I mean, we just really are each other. We are one. Mm-hmm. And it's like this paradox that I feel like doesn't make sense to me. And it's really starting to make sense to me now.
I love that. Maybe based on my chart, just you can, and so other people can kind of go through this, their own exercise. I have this, I've always had this like sense that I've wanted to live like 30 different lives in this, and one is not enough. Like I love change. I love adventure. And I think this is why I went into acting, because I just wanted to try on all the different hats and the roles and live in that period of time and put on that outfit and do this. And I just, you know, and I don't know if it's a past life thing or, you know, but I've like had vivid dreams of being like a Civil War soldier. And like, it breaks my heart that I can't have lived in every like epoch of history,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So is there something in my chart that
yes.
says why?
Yes. Well, so many actually, but specifically for you, it's in your profile. So the profile in our human design chart, the two little numbers that we have, we might have a 6-2, a 5-1, a 3-5. And in your case, it's a 1-3. And it's the 3. So whenever we have a 3 in our profile, and interestingly, you also, because we have these line numbers throughout our chart, you also have lots of them. I was going to say you have it in your core talent, but you're driven by it. It's all over your chart. So what that means is so much of your life is going to be about adventure. When we have a 3 in our profile, we're going to be people who don't want to live a conventional life. In fact, we find it easier, because I'm also a line 3, it's much easier to be like, yeah, I'm going to break that and move on. It's much easier for us to start over. We're the sort of people who don't want to put down roots. It's something that I really wrestled with for years. Like we bought a house, you know, back in our early 30s, and it was the worst thing I ever did. I felt so confined and trapped. I couldn't stand it. And now I'm just about to turn 49. Like we've rented, we've done all the things, and it's just now that I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy a house, but the house is because I found the place that I want all the family to come back to. And it's the place that we just come back to. We're not living there full time. That's not a thing. That's never going to be a thing for me. And the line 3 is someone who wants to get out in the world and experiment. And this is this energy of, these are people who are always going to have some level of, you know, trial and error, because they want to throw paint at a wall. They want to see what happens when they poke things and try things, and they're not always going to get it the first time or the second time. I know for me personally, and I sometimes wonder if it's the belief system that I've created, often I'll try things 3 times before I really get the hang of it, before I'm like, okay, now I'm starting to understand it. You know, I'll get it the first time easy, and then I won't be able to replicate it for a few times. And that's the line 3. And the line 3 will also, you know, the shadow of the line 3 does want to be seen. It wants to be acknowledged. It's this leadership energy, but it also has a sense of almost, there's a little bit of immaturity in it, because it's the 1-2 and the 3. Like these are the self-focused energies. So for you, a large part of your life is all about your personal journey. And being, a woman in the Western world, you know, the generation that you're in, you've never given yourself permission to go, hang on, this is really about me. Like the people out there, the people I'm going to serve, they want my knowledge, my experiences. So I have to go and have those things before I can share them with the world. So yeah, you have lots of line 3s everywhere, which is going to tend to be the person that wants to, you know, they call it make and break bonds. So you will tend to be that friend that maybe your best friends at school, and then you don't see them for 10 years, and then you bump into them and you're like, hey, how you going? And they're like annoyed at you because you didn't keep in contact. And you're like, what do you mean? Like, we're here right now. How are you doing? So it's this real sort of adventurer. You know, they don't have too much, like, not, they don't tend to be very attached to anything because they're like, well, but what's the next thing?
Mm-hmm. I know, it's wild. I'm like, I want to live in this house, and I want to design this house, and I want to live in Paris, and I want to live, and I want to learn the guitar.
Exactly.
And, you know,
yeah.
Who has time for all this stuff? And then I get overwhelmed. Yes. Let's talk about the shadow side of things, just real briefly, to like kind of wrap it up, because there's so many wonderful things, you know, and then the awareness that the shadow side. What is the shadow side of these aspects, and how can we use, you know, with that awareness, how can we use it?
Yeah, I love that. So this shadow, and I'm sure people listening to your podcast understand what your shadow is. Just to simplify it, the shadow, our shadow is the parts of ourselves that we don't want anyone else to see. And often we don't want to acknowledge ourselves. These are the part of ourselves that we carry shame around. When it comes to human design, there's every part of our chart. You know, there's a shadow of our type, of our strategy, of our authority, of our profile, of our gates, everything, right? And really what that means, and again, through the Gene Keys and the incredible teachings of Richard Rudd, he really explains it the best, I feel. And he's like, there is no way but through. First, we must acknowledge and own our shadows. We must see them and we must say, yes, that is us. And as we start to acknowledge and accept them, then we start to move through to what he calls the gift. And these are the doing. This is how we do these energies in the world. You know, he talks just to the gene keys, to the gates, but let's say for a projector, for you, a shadow of being a projector, well, your signature is success. So if you're in your shadow, you're going to be hustling your butt. You're going to be doing. You're going to be running around. You're going to be getting everything done. And you and the people around you are going to be succeeding, but you're going to be burning out. That's the shadow. You have to own it. You have to say, yep, that's me. And you have to own the part of your ego that's like, well, that's how I get seen. I get seen when I hustle. And then you want to move to this place where you're like, okay, well, I acknowledge those things actually aren't correct for me. And you start to consciously identify when you're doing that shadow behavior or you're being that shadow expression. And you just then make a different choice. So what would that choice be for you as a projector? Well, you'd stop hustling and you'd pay attention to the invitations. What are you being invited into right now? So don't worry about all the things your mind says you should be covering. Just focus on the invitations, because when you focus on the invitations, then you're moving in alignment with your soul's purpose, with your energy, all the things. So it's very much about becoming conscious of it, accepting it, acknowledging it, and then making a new choice to be more in alignment with your true energies, or with your aligned and potentials of your energies.
I mean, that's like gold right there. That pay attention to the invitations. That's the wisdom I need to hear in this time right now. El Camino provides.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, that was such a gift. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. The universe says you're welcome. I'm not doing anything. I'm just opening my mouth. And as an MG, I'm just responding.
So cool. Well, thank you so much. Your energy is amazing. You look beyond fantastic for 49.
And oh, thank you.
Yeah, congratulations on this next phase of life for you and all of us in the next few years. And where can people find you?
Okay, so you can find your free chart or anything that I do at the website, which is emmadunwoody.com. You can go and check out the podcast, which is the Human Design Podcast. And you can get your free chart on the website. I think I said that already. And of course, if you really want to have a chat to me, then go and find me on Instagram. It's the Human Design Coach. And drop me a note in my DMs and I will get back to you, because I love chatting to people.
So awesome. Yeah. And do you offer sessions still with people?
So I don't offer sessions myself anymore, but I have the most incredible team. Again, you can find them on the website. Just click on book a session and they will transform your world.
Woo! Oh my gosh, this is so cool. It's the best. Well, thank you so much. And take care.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Heal Podcast. Be sure to tune in every Thursday for more empowering wisdom and inspiring healing stories. And make sure you hit the follow button on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, so you don't miss that one episode that holds the answer you've been searching for.
And please rate and review us so that we can grow and reach more people. Thanks so much, and be well.